You are Locked On Brewers, your daily Milwaukee Brewers podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Cheer a superstar.
And that one's deep. Right center. Christian Yelich has tied it. You are Locked On Brewers, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. I'm your host, Ben Larson. Find me on Twitter at Cheesehead Talks, also at Locked On Brewers, and Facebook.com/Locked On Brewers as well. Hope you're doing well. Hope that you're getting through the coronavirus. Starting to get through it. Seems like it's going to be a long time that we are dealing with it, and hope it continues to go well for you. Or if you are unfortunate enough to yourself be sick with it or have a loved one that is, of course, we are wishing you an absolute speedy recovery, and I hope that you can get through it. But tough times. Still, of course, no sports, as we're all aware. No baseball. No baseball in sight. It's just you're going to take some time. As we all know, and it could be a long time. Seems like longer and longer as we go along, doesn't it? Seems like we're definitely looking at summer, maybe 4th of July. It doesn't seem like it's getting better. It seems like this infection is going to have to work its way through a lot of different areas around the country. And as much as I have wanted to talk about or hope that they could even play in front of empty ballparks, empty arenas, empty stadiums, whatever the case may be, I don't know. I don't know. It doesn't look like, I mean, definitely older people are still suffering the brunt of the bad cases, but there's certainly a lot of younger people, maybe even down to athletes and baseball players that could be in harm's way as well. We're seeing a lot of that. It's scary. And in Wisconsin, of course, or wherever you may be, but certainly in Wisconsin, we have basically a shelter-at-home policy in place. And so we're just going to have to get through it, and it's going to just take time, and scary time, but it's going to take some time. So that's what we're dealing with here. Like I mentioned, we'll be here with you as much as we can on Locked On Brewers. A lot of different types of shows. We'll talk to people from other teams, try to get some previews. We did that with Sean Sears with the Cubs last Friday. We'll talk about some of the Brewers and their activities, even as limited as they might be, through this break, and talk more about what to expect once they do play baseball again. So we'll, of course, do all that. But also do some shows like we're going to do today. And today I thought I'd start it off. I like talking about this maybe even more than individual players per se. Today we want to talk about the best games in Brewer history. Which is interesting from the standpoint that, one, there are some good memories, some great games, some good memories, obviously. And two, there aren't that many great games and great memories. 50 years in Milwaukee, right? 50 years, and the Brewers have been to the playoffs now six times, is it? 81 and 82. Then all the way to 2008, and then 2011, and then, of course, 2018, 2019. So six times. And so the vast majority of the great games and the great memories come from those six seasons. But, of course, there are some other ones that are worth talking about that did not happen in those particular seasons. And every year there's some good memories, even in the bad years. Maybe not 2000. Was it 2001 or 2002 when they went 56 and 106? That probably wasn't that great. Although, I do remember, this is random, but I do remember Jose Hernandez with a walk-off home run that year. So they still did, you know, you win 56 times. It's 56 wins. Hey, that's an opportunity to have a couple of exciting wins. And even that year, it can happen. But obviously the memories have been much better recently for the Brewers. So we'll get into it in just a minute here. I wanted to talk about the top. I have five that make the list, I think. I have some honorable mentions as well, just from my own personal memories. I think probably everyone does. If you follow a team day in, day out, night in, night out through the course of a season, you do it for 20 or 30 years like I have. You know, like you probably have, most people probably have. There's going to be some individual memories that maybe others don't remember, but you do because it was just special for you. So I want to bring some of those up too, because that is kind of fun to reminisce. So we'll do that next. And we'll also have a Twitter presence on this, a poll question, or just a Twitter question. I can't fit any more than four games into a poll question. So, you know, maybe just a random Twitter question as well that you know, I'll have you reply to our Twitter feed. At Lockdown Brewers on Twitter. What's the best game in franchise history? Or what's your favorite game in franchise history? Because I think the best is probably going to have some form of consensus between the top three or four, right? But maybe what's your favorite game that you ever saw with the Brewers? We can talk about that as well. So anyway, that's on the way next. I'll run down some of the games I have on my list, and it'll be fun. We can kind of discuss it over Twitter and social media in the coming week, and I'll come back to it here on the show as well. So that's what's next. You're Locked On Brewers. Withings is the place to go if you want to get the best scale. In fact, it's been called the best smart scale in the world by Tom's Guide. It's the Body Plus. If you're looking to lose weight, willpower is key, but also having the right tools. Withings Smart Scales are known for durability and exceptional user-friendly design. Step-on and data for every weigh-in syncs automatically to the free app for iOS and Android via Wi-Fi or Bluetooth. Lots of smart scales don't have the Wi-Fi option, but this one does. So here's the deal. You get 25% off of Withings Body Plus right now at withings.com for a very limited time. Go to withings.com. Spell it out. withings.com/MLB to get 25% off Body Plus Body Composition Scale. That's withings.com/MLB to get 25% off the Body Plus Body Composition Scale. All right, I want to get into it here. The top games in franchise history. So I'm going to go in chronological order. Okay, and I just kind of went through my memory of these particular games are of the last three in the list that I have. So I hear a lot about the first two. I'm not old enough. I was alive, but not old enough to have a memory of them. And so I remember very distinctly the last three. And there's a huge gap in time between the first two and the last three. So we start with 1982, the legendary Brewers, right? The 1982 World Series team, still the most celebrated team in franchise history, fortunate or unfortunate, as so it may be, because they didn't win. They should have. They were the better team, but they didn't win it. They got to Game 7 of the World Series, and we know what happened. It's heartbreaking. But the single best moment. Now, again, there are a couple in this season, and I was three, but I don't remember any of it, of course. But a couple of great moments. The one I think that might just by default kind of classify as the best game in Brewers history would be the ALCS 1982 Game 5. Cecil Cooper drives in the tying and go-ahead runs, and the Brewers win the game to go to the World Series. County Stadium goes crazy. Fans rush the field. It's a great scene. I wish there was more good video of it. We're so used to cameras everywhere and everybody's face and getting every moment captured these days, but in 1982, I think there were two cameras there. I think Howard Cosell was there, though, right? Am I wrong on that? Maybe somebody can correct me. I saw the replay of the rebroadcast of the game that clinched the division for the Brewers that year in Baltimore, the American League East in Baltimore, where they had dropped the first three games of that series against the Orioles, and then it turned it into a winner-take-all in Earl Weaver's last game as Orioles manager. And the Brewers won that game, eventually going away 10-2, and they clinched the division. And Bud Selig's out there with a cigar, and Howard Cosell is talking about the Brewers. You know, that was kind of fun to watch a replay of. But those two from 1982. But I'll just focus on the Cecil Cooper go-ahead hit, maybe the single biggest hit, maybe in Brewers franchise history, maybe. There's some other good hits to talk about. Well, I'm sure we'll talk about that in future podcasts here as this delay goes on. So we'll go forward then to 1987. This is the only one that was not in a championship or playoff year. And I think you know what I'm talking about. It was early, but it's so memorable in Brewers history. 1987 produced some great memories. Juan Nieves and the no-hitter. I'm not going to include that in this list, but it's worth mentioning, but not going to include it. Still the only no-hitter in franchise history. It wasn't exactly like lights-out Juan Nieves, from what I understand. But he got it done. Later, though, in that same season-opening 13-game winning streak, was Dale Swain's walk-off home run on Easter Sunday at Miller Park. I don't know why I'm bringing out Howard Cosell there. Easter Sunday at Miller Park. And he has the walk-off home run after Rob Deer, who, when I first became a fan of the Brewer, was my favorite Brewer. But Rob Deer hit a tying three-run home run. And it's just fun to see the clips of Miller Park. First of all these hicks with their shirts off. You know, come on, right? It was great. But there were 50,000 fans there. It was a beautiful day, which you don't get in April very often at all in Miller Park. They're their shirts off. They're going crazy. And the Brewers are down 4-1, kind of a depressing game. And then all of a sudden, a three-run jack by Deer ties it. They're going nuts. And then Dale Swam with the walk-off. And they're going absolutely ballistic at Miller Park. At County Stadium. And later, just a couple years later, I really became aware and became a sports fan, became a Brewer fan. I was not ever privy to County Stadium being an electric atmosphere. Closest was 92 with the 3,000th hit with Robin Yount. And then right at the end of the season, fans really filled that place. But right at the end, even though the Brewers were in contention that year, there wasn't a lot of excitement about that team until the very end, and then they missed the playoffs, so it was very short-lived. So just seeing those clips from both the World Series year of 82 and 87 to have a fan base going so crazy early in the season like that was neat to see. So those are the games that I don't remember, okay? I've seen clips, particularly with the 87 Easter Sunday game. It's very celebrated, right? And I've seen some clips, and it makes me happy to see it. I just didn't experience it as a kid. I would have been old enough, but I just wasn't a sports fan yet. Was what it was. So let's fast forward then, only about 21 years, good grief, to the 2008 season. And the Brewers, you know, down the stretch, they almost blow it. They were a solid playoff team. They were easily the wild card team in the National League, and then they just started collapsing in September. Ned Yost gets fired. They bring in Dale Swaim, speak of the devil. He's the manager. They aren't all that great with Swaim as manager, but they figure out a way to right the ship enough to get to a point where they can at least on that final day of the season at Miller Park, if they win, they're guaranteed to tie the Mets and go to a one-game playoff for the wild card. As it ended up, they won, and the Mets lost, and so the Brewers clinched the wild card and got to the playoffs for the first time in 26 years. But the scenes, one, Ryan Braun, I mean, it's against the Cubs, who had already won the division that year, and they would be, I think, swept out of the playoffs, right, if memory serves. But the Brewers are trying to get there, and it's tied, it's tight game, and Ryan Braun hits the home run in the eighth, you know, that just sends the place into a frenzy. I remember when he hit it, I was dancing around the living room going crazy. And then CC Sabathia with the complete game, and his celebration and the club celebration when he got the final out is, you know, a great memory, just a great memory and a great celebration at Miller Park. And then everybody watches the Mets lose on the Jumbotron and in the clubhouse, and the Brewers are in the playoffs. I mean, great moment just for its, you know, culmination of all those years, the misery of the 90s, the extreme misery of the early 2000s, including the 56 and 106 season, the sale of the team to Mark Adonasio, bringing on Doug Melvin, building a contender bit by bit, hearing about Prince and Fielder and Hart and Hardy coming up through the ranks, Sheets, you know, and finally they get it done in 2008 and make the playoffs. That was very, very special. Okay. Are you teary-eyed yet? Okay, 3 years later, 2011, I remember waking up one morning in the winter of 2010 or early 2011, whatever it was, and hearing the news that the Brewers had traded for Zach Greinke and that they were bringing on Markham as well, you know, as a pitching staff, and that they were going to put together a team. That was a hell of a team, right? You had Fielder in his final year before free agency. You had Braun as an MVP, Ricky Weeks, you know, that whole core that came up through the minors really had their finest season. 96 wins, even without a tie-breaking win. You know, they hit 96 and 162. So, you know, just their best season ever from a win total and a winning percentage. And so, just fantastic. And it culminates, unfortunately, it ends short of the World Series because they ran into the damn Cardinals, buzzsaw that went on to win the World Series. But, you know, the moment, right? Of, and I just rewatched it the other day because it was it was on Twitter as a link, and I went in and watched. I've done this a couple times and watched that the final innings there of that Game 5 of the divisional series against the Diamondbacks. Brewers get down. They tie it up. Or excuse me, they're up. They get it tied, and then they go to extra innings, and they put together the winning rally in extras on the base hit by Nigel Morgan that plates Carlos Gomez from second. I mean, that was such a great scene, right? Seeing Gomez flying around third, go-go, such a great personality. Talk about two of the best crazy personalities on that Brewer team teaming up in one play for such a historic victory, right? To clinch Game 5, to send it off in walk-off fashion, and to send it to the championship series. And I'll never forget, they were interviewing Nigel Morgan after the game on the television feed, and he's dropping F-bombs left and right. I mean, left and right. F-bomb after F-bomb after F-bomb. Has nothing to say. And then just walks away, just adding to the legend of Nigel Morgan, who had a crazy season and just seemed, you know, a little bit mentally not in the same place as other people. But talk about a guy who came for one season. I think he actually played for two there, right? But he came for one season and just gave us so many memories of both craziness and fantastic clutch deliveries. Big hits all season long, especially in Game 5 there. A great memory at Miller Park. And then the final one I have is how sweet it was in 2018. Became the signature win of 2018. 2 years ago, the Brewers going to Game 7 of the NLCS, and none of those playoff games in particular. I mean, I know you had the Moustakas walk-off against the Rockies at Miller Park, but that was a series sweep, and the Brewers pretty much dominated that series. So, and then the playoffs, you had some nice wins against the Dodgers, but you didn't win Game 7, and so it's, you know, it's hard to celebrate a win. I mean, the Brandon Woodruff home run in Game 1, I was there. It was electric. It was unbelievable. It was just fantastic. So it was a great memory. But, you know, again, you lost the series. So really the signature moment from 2018 is going to Wrigley to beat the Cubs in the tiebreaker, right? To chase him down in September the way the Brewers did. And then to go in there, get the big hits late, to take the lead, and then to have Hader come in and close it out. And, of course, it's one of the calls at the beginning of this podcast each and every day with the fly ball by Rizzo to clinch it. And it's fantastic. There's the sweetness of going to Wrigley and beating the Cubs. I mean, there's been a couple of great championship victories in Chicago by Wisconsin sports teams the last decade or decade plus now. The Packers winning the NFC Championship game at Soldier Field is fantastic. Lifetime bragging rights, right? And this too, to have the jokes against the Cubs and top them was just a great, great memory. So there they are. I mean, how would you rank them? You know, as we look at all this stuff and look at it on Twitter, where would you put the number one game in franchise history? I mean, I don't think it's a slam dunk. I mean, I know a lot of people say, well, it's 82 because that clinched the World Series, and I get it. That's a solid argument, the Cecil Cooper hit in 82. And if you have a memory of that, if you're old enough, 45, 40, whatever, 50-plus, and you can remember that, it probably is your favorite memory. But, man, I just think all three of the ones in my memory that I watched live, the Braun homer in 2008, the Nigel Morgan hit in 2011, and the Cubs clincher in 2018, they're all three pretty strong candidates. I mean, the Brewers don't have a ton of these games that are legendary games in franchise history because they had a lot of terrible teams in between, but there's some good candidates here. So anyway, we'll put it up on Twitter. I'll post the question and see how you feel here about what the best game in franchise history is. And there are always some honorable mentions, right? Just some ones that you feel good about. Maybe I'll talk about that a little bit later. We'll revisit this this week and next on the podcast. But we'll stick to those five for now and see what you think. And we'll go from there. It's always a fun conversation. Love to hear your comments about it, too. If you were at any of these games, if you have memories of any of these games, watching with friends or on TV or what you were doing, love to hear about it. So, again, at Lockdown Brewers, at Cheesehead Talks, or even Facebook.com/Lockdown Brewers. You can go there and post as well, and I'll read those posts on the podcast, too. So we'll check it out. My thanks again for your attention and listening to this, and hopefully reliving some good memories as we sort of get through this time before baseball comes back, whenever that's going to be. But we're looking forward to it, and we'll talk about it coming up more. We'll also have some interviews coming up about the Brewers and about other teams in the division as we give a slow-motion preview of the National League Central here in 2020. Again, find me, make comments about this show and about anything else on Twitter at Cheesehead Talks and at Lockdown Brewers, Facebook.com/Lockdown Brewers as well. You can download and subscribe to the podcast, Spotify, Stitcher, Apple Podcasts, and Google Play. Tell a friend about Lockdown Brewers, and we'll talk to you soon when we deliver your Brewers fix right here on Lockdown Brewers, part of the Locked On Podcast Network.